Spotlight sweeping over the emblem for 20th Century Fox, carved into a golden monolith. An elevated train track, a Hughes Entertainment production. A Chris Columbus film. Only the Lonely. John Candy. Maureen O'Hara. Ali Sheedy. Kevin Dunn. Milo O'Shea. Bert Remsen. With Anthony Quinn. And James Belushi. A uniformed cop steps out of a grocery store carrying a bag.
How you doing, Frank?
Morning, Danny. It's a gorgeous day.
Isn't it?
Thank you.
All right, Clark.
Good morning there, Danny.
There you go.
Thank you.
Having bought a newspaper from a stand, Danny heads off down the street.
Morning, Danny.
Hi,
he crosses the road.
How's it going, Doc?
Marty? Only the lonely.
Hi.
An old man is digging in a garden full of colorful flowers.
Oh, Danny! Wait! Wait.
How you doing, Nick?
Fine.
Give this to your mother.
Thanks.
Danny takes a pink rose from Nick and walks up a set of steps towards the front door of her house. Inside, Danny prepares a breakfast for two, then scrunches his paper bag into a ball and throws it into the kitchen bin. Written and directed by Chris Columbus. A woman with red hair and wearing a dressing gown comes downstairs and takes a jacket off the banister on her way to the kitchen.
Good morning, Danny.
Morning, Ma.
I told you not to hang your coat on the banister. It ruins the shape.
Sorry.
Did you get my paper?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. My lotto ticket?
Mm-hmm.
She finds the rose.
What's this?
From Nick.
Danny's happy to catch her smiling as she smells the flower.
Give it back.
Why? Come on, Ma. Nick's a good guy.
Typical Greek. I know what he's up to. If I accept it, he'll think I'm easy.
I don't want to know this.
What's that?
Prime rib.
When did you start eating yogurt? Where's your Danish?
I'm trying to cut back.
You cut back.
Pants are getting a little tight, so I thought I'd give this a try.
Well, you can't expect to fit into boys' sizes. You're not a boy anymore.
I'm 38 years old, Ma. I've been a boy for 20 years.
My son, the anorexic.
Oh, damn. Fisk isn't going to play.
You going to the game?
Yeah, tomorrow, Sal and me. Boston's in town. Clemens is pitching. Should be a great game.
But tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Wednesday we go to bingo.
Couldn't we skip it this week, Ma?
Skip it, Danny? I can't skip bingo. I love it. I haven't skipped bingo in 25 years.
Look, I'd cancel. It's just, you know, Sal got these tickets over 3 months ago.
Okay. I'll go myself.
Just be careful. There's a lot of construction around the church, and I don't want you slipping and falling.
I will.
Your eyes aren't so good anymore.
Don't start that. My eyes are perfect.
Then why are you pouring orange juice in your coffee?
Damn cartons. They're all decorated the same.
He shakes his head and watches her strain to read the newspaper. Now it's nighttime, and Danny's mum is outside wearing a long coat and headscarf. She hesitates as she approaches a construction site, then apprehensively walks towards the tangle of scaffolding and warning signs. Unnerved by rising steam and barely visible dangling equipment, she doesn't notice the open manhole till it's too late. Landing on her back, she slowly opens her eyes.
Oh, Danny, I hope you enjoyed your baseball game.
As she breathes her last breath, the long dark tunnel becomes Danny's eye, and he is back at the kitchen table looking very worried.
Ma, look, I'll skip the game. We'll go to bingo.
Oh, no, that's all right. You go ahead, enjoy yourself.
No, I can go to a game anytime, Ma. Bingo only comes once a week.
Thank you, Danny.
Ah, it's okay. Are you gonna eat that?
No. You want it?
Yeah, I'll start my diet tomorrow.
It's sissy food anyway.
True. Very true.
A police wagon is on the highway.
The district court of Salvatore Bonardi and Danny Muldoon is now in session.
All rise. What's the accused charged with?
Name's Dwayne Earl Tyrone. Apparently, he ran this apartment housing down on the south side, mostly senior citizens, right? Well, he'd take their monthly checks, cash them, and strangle them to death.
Oh,
how come guys like that do that?
Chemical imbalance or something, you know?
Yeah.
I read that somewhere.
You mean it's a kind of a vitamin thing?
Yeah, it's a deficiency of some sort, like rickets.
Yeah. You take vitamins, Tyrone?
Nah.
I'm gonna start taking vitamins.
Yeah, me too.
It's nighttime, and the police wagon pulls up outside a restaurant called Diana's. A moment later, Sal and Danny are sitting at a table.
So, how's the wife?
She cut me off, Danny.
For how long?
She says until I seek professional help.
For what?
She thinks I'm getting weird in bed.
Are you?
Well, you know, we've been doing it the same way for the past 10 years, Danny. Once a week, every Saturday night, right after the 9 o'clock sports, right? Same position, 7 minutes of foreplay, 12 minutes of sex, and we keep our pajama tops on. Well, I'm getting bored out of my skull, right, Danny? So I says to her, you know, why don't we add a little spice? You know, go state of the art.
State of the art?
Well, yeah, state of the art. You know, now it's the computer age, right? Electronics and stuff. So I figure I'll go to the mature shop, right? Pick up something. I bought me one of these big digital marriage counselors, right?
What's that?
It's a big, you know, it's like a, it's a love enhancer. It's like a device, you know?
Ah.
All right. So I bring this into the bedroom on Saturday night. I pull it out. I put it on her pill, you know, a little surprise. She freaks. She tries to kill it. She thinks it's a giant centipede.
You're kidding.
So I've been on the couch ever since.
Oh, sorry to hear about that.
I envy you, though. You can jump in the sack with any chick you want. If she don't like your habits, you're on to the next one.
Well, it's been a little slow lately.
You know, that's the most infuriating thing about you.
Mm.
You don't take advantage of your God-given position in life. When's the last time you were on a date?
2-3 months ago.
9. Try 9, Danny.
Hey, who's counting?
When's the last time you got laid?
Sal.
Come on, when?
Sal.
It's been so long, you don't even remember, do you?
Hey, I remember.
So, when?
That's personal.
Oh, yeah? Why don't we try 5 years personal, Danny?
Hey, why don't you shut up and mind your own business, all right?
Annoyed, Danny takes a sip of his drink and shakes his head. Later, at home, he's standing in the hallway reading a newspaper when his mum steps out of a room.
Good night, son.
Good night, Mum.
He takes his paper into the room while his mum goes off to bed. The garden of a luxury house.
15! Go ahead! Turn!
Ooh! You know, coach says he's a natural.
At what?
A wide receiver.
Maybe put some weight on. He could be a jockey.
I'm kidding. Or a guard or a tackle, maybe. Same
right,
thing.
Right.
On one. Set! 35! Hut!
Go!
Okay, Philly, right there!
Catch the ball, Billy.
I hate this game.
Billy. Billy, would you come back and practice?
What does he have to practice for? He's a natural.
Let's get a beer. How's work?
It's fine.
Aren't you getting tired of it?
No, Sal and I, we have a lot of laughs.
Still, Danny, you've been driving that wagon for, what, 15 years, picking up stiffs, hauling away criminals. You deserve better.
I don't want better.
Look, I am this close to John Burroughs, your superintendent. Now, we play golf every Sunday. Just say the word, and I can get you transferred to Florida.
No, I don't want to go.
Come on, Danny. You and Mom can get that waterfront condo that you've been talking about.
I don't want to go to Florida. I'm not ready to retire yet, okay?
Okay. Say the word.
Fine. Thank you.
He hasn't got any spice or seasoning on this at all. Well, it gives kind of headaches. Well, he never had headaches when he lived with me.
So how's Mom? She looks tired.
Yeah, she needs a change, you know? Different environment.
Well, Susan and I would take her for a while.
You would?
Yeah, but she'd hate it here.
Maybe not.
I just think she's happier in her own house. You know, where we grew up, where she and Dad lived, where she knew everybody.
And where I can take care of her, right?
Well, yeah, that too. So what? I mean, you make her happy, Dan. You're her favorite son.
Oh, come on. Don't pull that.
Plus, you get your meals cooked, your laundry done, and your bed made. Believe me, you'll never find a wife who'll do all that.
You're a good lawyer, Patrick. A very good lawyer.
Billy's hanging upside down from a swing.
You're maybe a gymnast.
He falls to the ground. Later, Danny and his mum arrive at O'Neill's bar.
Good evening, Tom.
Back in your rooms. Evening, Danny.
They step inside.
Ah, two more thirsty mouths. The usual, is it?
What do you suppose?
What's the score?
Last since winning by three.
Oh,
dear. You didn't miss much.
The doors swing open and three elderly men enter. Two of them are singing and propping up their friend who's unconscious and slumps over the bar when they let go of him.
Three doubles.
I'm sorry, boys, but I can't be serving you. You've already had a bit too much, and your friend there's floothered.
Floothered?
Yeah.
It's parched, he is. He hasn't wet his lips in 24 hours.
Frank, don't you recognize your old pal here?
The man slumps.
Holy Mother of God.
It's Tommy Bones.
So?
He died yesterday.
Get him out of here. We can explain. Larry, explain.
One August, back in 58, me and Jack here, we made a promise to Tommy.
We swore we'd bring him back to O'Neill's the night before his wake for one last Jameson for his journey.
It's a sacred duty, then.
Oh, it is, it is.
Let it never be said that an O'Neill broke a promise to the dead.
Three doubles it is.
And if he drinks it, it's on the house.
A man and woman come in.
Brave robbers. All right, give him back.
Yeah, after he's had a drink.
No, right now.
When he's had a drink.
Look, I could have you two arrested. You know, you can't walk into a funeral home, take a corpse and bring it to a tavern. What's the matter with you?
All right, what's going on here?
Officer, these two idiots snuck into my funeral home and took the body while my daughter Teresa was on her coffee break.
All right, here's what we're going to do. You two are going to take him back. That is, unless you decide to press charges.
No, I don't want to press charges.
Okay, fine. Take the body back. Can't drink anyway. What did you do, sew his lips shut?
All right, that's enough for you, all right? I want you to take him back, understand? And the both of you go home.
Take
him. Don't break him.
Danny and Teresa's eyes meet. After a moment, she turns and hurries out of the bar as Danny smiles bashfully before returning to his table.
All right. So that was Joey Luna, huh?
Yeah.
He's got the parlor over there on Morgan Street?
That's right.
I guess that was his daughter.
She works for him.
Oh, yeah, doing what?
Painting faces.
Dead faces.
Yeah, she couldn't get a job right out of cosmetic school.
She married?
No, you know how it is. The business she's in turns most guys off.
Oh, would, yeah.
Why? You interested?
Oh, no. I'm just curious, that's all. You know,
If you are, go for it. Don't waste your time. Ask the girl out.
No.
Why should he?
He
He's perfectly happy now. Why screw things up?
Don't listen to him, Danny boy. Don't end up bachelors like the two of us.
Speak for yourself.
Danny's doing fine. He doesn't have to go chasing some ghoul from a funeral parlor for a date. He can do better than that.
He doesn't have time to do better. All the good ones will be taken.
The girls should be chasing him.
I don't believe this. I'm getting romantic advice from a widow and two bachelors.
One very experienced bachelor.
Celibacy is considered experience?
Oh, I've had my share of women.
Three.
Just never been stupid enough to marry them.
You've never been fortunate enough. They all said no.
If I'd have gotten married, I wouldn't be where I am now.
In a tavern?
Free. Living like a king.
You live at the Y.
I don't have to answer to anyone. I come and go as I please. I do what I want when I want.
Don't listen to him, Danny boy. Call that girl. Don't spend your life full of regrets.
Rose doesn't look happy. Now it's daytime, and two long black limousines are parked outside the J. Luna funeral home. Looking nervous, he tentatively steps through the doors. Inside, a congregation is mourning at Tommy Bones' funeral. A priest comforts an elderly woman standing at the open casket as Danny walks in and takes off his hat. The two bachelors from the bar spot him, and one of them points off to the side. Danny nods, then walks down a long, warmly lit corridor with a burgundy carpet. He stops to look through a curtain into one of several adjoining rooms, then continues towards a gate at the end of the hallway.
Every day, every night, every minute.
Beyond the gate, Teresa's making up the face of a corpse in a coffin while watching a black and white movie on TV.
Goodbye, Thornton. And God bless you. Goodbye, Blake.
Goodbye, Jim.
When she pauses the movie on an image of Clark Gable, Danny notices the corpse's resemblance to the famous actor. He looks worried for a moment.
You missed the spot. It was just a joke. I didn't mean to scare you.
No one is allowed back here.
Sorry,
Is there a problem?
No, no problem at all. I... Actually, I saw you at O'Neill's the other night. And, well, oh. Don't you just hate all that awkward stuff that goes with asking someone out on a date for the first time? I'll make it easy for you. Give you a list of possible excuses. Things I've heard a million times before. All you have to do is say yes or no. That way it takes the pressure off both of us. Make sense to you?
Yeah.
Good, okay, yeah. Here we go. Reasons why you can't go out with me on Saturday. You're seeing somebody else.
No.
You're having your wisdom teeth pulled.
No.
You're washing your hair.
No.
You're going shopping. You have to babysit for your neighbor's kids, nieces, or nephews.
No.
You're doing the laundry.
No.
You have to lube your car.
No.
You're getting your legs waxed.
No.
I think that just about covers everything.
You forgot one thing.
What's that?
If somebody dies, I'm stuck here.
Oh, sure, of course. Yeah, sure.
But nobody died yet.
So you're free? Uh-huh. Oh, that's terrific. Great, thanks. Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you. How about 7 o'clock? I'll pick you up. Where do you live?
Here.
With the Stiffs?
My father and I have an apartment upstairs.
Oh, sure. Of course. That's convenient. Yeah, would be. So 7 o'clock then.
If nobody dies.
If nobody dies, of course. 7 o'clock.
He looks at the corpse.
Did you mean him to look like Clark Gable?
Yeah.
You did that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very good. That's a talent. Yeah. Yeah, that's terrific. He's a dead ringer. I didn't mean dead like that. I don't mean dead like that, dead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... You know what I meant, in fairness. I'll see you at 7. Great, great. I'll close out here for you. Yeah, I'll pick up these. I'm sorry if I bother you.
Teresa lets out a sigh.
Don't screw this one up, Teresa.
Tommy's coffin is being loaded into a hearse when Danny steps outside.
Yeah!
Everybody stops and turns to him.
I'm sorry. See, I just got lucky in there with a girl. I didn't mean it like that. It's not what you're thinking. She does everybody in there. Not in that way. But she probably did that guy there, for example. I gotta go.
Can you believe that guy?
He rose.
Hello, Marty. Hello, Doc.
Hi. He quickly bends down and shears a bunch of flowers from his bed.
Rose, I'm trying again. Will you please accept these flowers?
I don't want them, and I don't date Greeks.
You know, you and I could make each other so happy.
Oh, forget it.
Greek men are great lovers.
And Greek men never bathe.
I bathe twice a day, 3 times when I do my sit-ups. Feel that stomach, hard, like an 18-year-old. Come on, feel it.
I'm not feeling anything of yours.
Rose, you've forgotten what a sweet thing romance can be. Come to my bed. You will never leave.
She slaps him.
Have a little respect. You're speaking to a lady.
I apologize. I spoke with my heart and not my head. A beautiful woman like you has that effect on me.
She's smiling as he kisses her hand. Just then, Danny steps out of the house carrying a hamper.
Oh, well, Danny.
Where are you going all dressed up?
I've got a date sorted for.
That's your father's jacket.
It fits pretty good, doesn't it?
She nods.
And your tie, just like your father. You always make the knot too big. Let's see. There now.
Oh, Danny, give this to your girl. Women love flowers. Some of them.
Thanks. I gotta go.
Oh, he's got a girl. He's lucky.
Bright floodlights are switched on. Danny and Teresa are sitting on a picnic blanket in the middle of an empty baseball stadium.
I hope you don't mind coming here. I wanted to bring you somewhere special on our first date.
There's an awkward silence.
Danny! Want me to turn the scoreboard lights on?
You want to see the scoreboard? It's really something.
Yeah.
Go for it, Leo!
Okay!
Leo flicks a switch and the scoreboard comes to life. A home run animation is followed by magnificent fireworks in the sky above it. The explosive display fills the night sky.
Whoa! Pretty, huh?
She's lost for words.
Thanks, Leo!
No problem, Danny!
It's a shame they're gone. Tear the whole place down.
They both seem self-conscious.
Leo, he's been around here as long as I can remember. Great guy. He lets me in anytime I want.
Sometimes it's good to be a cop.
He looks like he's desperately trying to think of something to say.
My brother had his bachelor party here. Oh, it was great. We played baseball all night. We had half barrels on each of the bases, you know? So every time a guy got a hit and you got on base, you had to chug a pint, okay? So all night it was hit, drink, hit, drink, hit, drink. All night long, like that. In the morning, okay? The Sox came out, they got a day game. They came out here, 20 drunken Irishmen all over the infield. It was a mess. Guys were throwing up and stuff. Oh, God. That was funny. That's the wrong story to tell you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that one up. That's a bad story to tell on a first date. That's not a good story. I'm sorry. That's a bad story. It was funny, but that's not a good one to tell you. I'm sorry about that. I've been Mr. Motormouth all night long, you know, and, gee, I'm sorry. Why don't you take the floor for a while?
Me?
Yeah.
You don't want to hear about me.
Yes, I do.
It's boring.
No, come on.
He gives her a nod of encouragement.
Like what?
Like anything. I don't know. Like, what your favorite color is, what you're going to do with your life, how many brothers and sisters you got. I don't care, really, anything.
Waiting for her to speak, Danny becomes uncomfortable.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
He turns away and takes a sip of his drink.
Light blue.
Sorry?
My favorite color is light blue.
That's a very nice color. Light blue.
He takes another swig.
It's terrific. Boy, it's a shame they're gonna tear this all down.
Later, Danny and Teresa are walking down the street.
Is everything okay with dinner?
It's fine.
See, you didn't eat much.
It was very good. Thanks.
Chicken was a little greasy, wasn't it?
No.
It's not too late. Do you want to go out for a drink or something? Watch yourself there.
No, I have to work in the morning.
Somebody die?
Two people.
Big day, huh?
Yeah.
They stop at a door.
Well.
Good night.
They shake hands, then the faintest of smiles flashes across Teresa's face.
Good night.
Danny.
Yeah?
She looks blankly at him.
Is everything okay? You all right?
I had a wonderful time tonight.
You did?
I know, it seemed like I didn't.
It seemed like you wanted to be on another planet.
I didn't.
Look, I know I talk too much sometimes. I apologize for that.
No, it's not you. It's me.
You?
I have this thing.
What thing?
I have this introverted kind of thing.
Introverted? That just means you're shy.
No. No, it's worse than shy. I guess it doesn't help spending 8 hours a day with people who don't talk back to you.
No, I guess not.
But I'm trying to get past it, to beat it. And it isn't easy, but if you could just bear with me and maybe give me one more chance, I think I'm gonna get a lot better because I'm feeling very comfortable around you, and I would really like to go out with you again. If you would, you know, like to go out with me again.
I'd love to see you again.
Yeah?
What are you, nuts? I didn't mean that.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah. That is great.
Patrick's with his mum.
There's a Waterway Terrace. It's 20 miles from St. Pete.
Is that you, Danny?
Yeah, Ma.
How was your date?
It was nice, very nice.
Did you spend all evening talking about dead bodies?
No, we didn't talk shop. What are you doing here so late? Susan kick you out of the house?
He's got a surprise for you.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
You're moving to Florida.
What?
You and Mom. You're moving to St. Pete. I played 18 with Burroughs yesterday. He agreed to move you to a Florida precinct.
Why? Why now?
Well, I needed an investment. And, you know, I was thinking about our talk. And, Danny, you're absolutely right. Mom needs a change of pace.
Yeah, but what about me? You know, maybe I'm not ready to leave Chicago.
Well, you were going to leave Chicago eventually anyway. So what difference does it make if it's a couple of years earlier?
Why wouldn't you talk to me first?
Well, I wanted to surprise you.
It's a surprise, all right. So is being hit by a bus.
Now, be polite. This is costing Patrick a lot of money.
Rose goes to the kitchen.
Look, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I'd like to be included in a decision that's going to affect the rest of my life.
Hey, Danny, this is going to be great for all of us.
Yeah. Well, you're not the one that's moving.
Would you think about Ma? All her relatives live down there. I mean, think about how happy she's going to be. And you don't have to worry about her slipping on the ice and breaking her hip or catching pneumonia from that winter draft upstairs.
Yeah.
Huh? You know, or walking into the side of a cab because she's too damn stubborn to buy a pair of glasses.
You're right.
Danny, you should have seen her face when I told her.
Really?
I mean, 20 years just melted away.
Danny concedes. It's daytime, and Danny and Sal's wagon pulls behind a police car outside a grimy downtown hotel. Two uniformed policemen are at the entrance with a clipboard.
Where's the stinker?
Apartment 603.
But the elevator's broken, so you're gonna have to carry the body down the stairs.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, wagon man, you couldn't pay me enough.
So, you're late or what?
No, it's just a date.
What's your name?
Teresa.
Teresa, the lovely Teresa.
Would you stop that?
So, was she good in the sack or what?
Will you drop it, please? Speaking of which,
oh, my back.
That goddamn elevator. I'm not carrying this guy down six flights of stairs, I'll tell you that right now.
What do you want to do, roll him down the stairs?
Just a second.
People on the street stop and look up. A black body bag is being lowered from a window tied to a hose pipe.
Hey, Sal. Yeah. About the football game.
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited, man. 50-yard line seats. They're playing the Packers. We'll be able to nab some good autographs in the sidelines.
Yeah, I can't go.
What? Well, it's not bingo night, is it?
No, I promised Teresa I'd take her to the ballet.
The ballet, huh? Pussy whips.
Pardon?
It's you I'm worried about.
Me?
Yeah. Hey, don't go getting serious and falling for this chick, all right?
Why? Something wrong with that?
Well, you know, you gotta leave your options open, Danny, that's all. I mean, lady-wise, you're broken a dry spell, right? So maybe you're on a roll, that's all. You know, ask out some of the other babes. Sample some of the other flavors. I mean, that's what I would do, you know what I mean? Otherwise, you're gonna get trapped. Believe me, it's miserable. Huh?
The hose is fully extended.
Okay, we got it.
All right.
They look out the window. The body bag's still some way off the ground.
What do we do now? I guess we have to bring him back up.
I ain't bringing him back up here. He's too damn heavy.
Well, what do you suggest we do?
Cut the hose.
Cut the hose?
Yeah, let him fall.
To the ground?
Yeah.
A fall like that could kill a guy.
He's dead. He's not gonna feel nothing.
I don't think it's such a bright idea.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, look at the crowd down there.
Maybe you're right.
Let's just bring him up.
The hose snaps.
Sometimes it is not good to be a cop.
Danny's standing in front of a mirror while a tailor adjusts the suit he's trying on.
How much is it?
That's $790 plus tax.
He breaks into a cold sweat.
I'll take it.
Good.
Is there a layaway plan?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Of course, the suit has to stay here.
Oh, sure, I knew that. I don't suppose you can rent the suit.
No, sir, not at this store.
I was joking, I knew that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'll take it. I like it very much. Nice lines to it.
No, it looks very nice on you, sir.
Not too flashy, huh?
No, it's very conservative.
Yeah, that's me. I'm very conservative myself. So I would naturally go, for a more conservative look.
No, looks much like a banker.
Really? Banker?
Yeah.
Hello? How much would you like today? $790.
Don't forget to say thank you.
Children climb the steps to Rose's front door.
Coming.
Trick or treat.
Tell your parents these are from Rose Muldoon, cooked in her own kitchen.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Where are you going all dressed up?
I'm going on a date.
Since when?
Since last week when I told you.
You did not.
I did too. I told you this Saturday night I'm taking Teresa to the ballet.
Oh, I would have remembered. And who's going to help me hand out the apples now? Oh,
come on, Ma, you can do it. We only get about 50 trick-or-treaters.
You think I'm going to that door alone? What if it's a crack maniac dressed up as Frankenstein or a rapist dressed up like Elmer Fudd?
Well, I tell you what you do, Ma. You peek out the window, and if Elmer Fudd's over 4 feet tall, you don't let him in.
She dips an apple in toffee.
We always gave out the apples together on Halloween. You must have some sort of affection for this girl. New suit, ballet, fancy schmancy.
Teresa happens to be a very nice girl, Ma.
Is she Irish?
No, she's not. She's Italian.
A Guinea?
Oh, Ma.
Oh, at least tell me she's not a Sicilian, please.
She is Sicilian, Ma.
Black Death.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
How many times have I told you to keep away from those Sicilians? They'll cut your stomach out if they think you've swallowed a penny.
I gotta get out of here.
And who started the Cosa Nostra?
Oh.
The Sicilians. Who invented prostitution, drugs, gambling? The Sicilians. My father used to always say, Barlama Behenifrin Godiona, Lava Carhu, Ledina O Sicily.
I know. I'd rather spend eternity in hell than shake hands with a Sicilian.
We'll see to it you remember that tonight.
I will. I gotta go. Have a happy Halloween, Ma.
You too. There'll be a lot of pretty Irish girls in Florida.
Ballerinas in extravagant costumes are performing in a thick mist on the stage of a theatre as Danny and Teresa take their seats in a box.
Sometimes it's good to be a cop.
Danny becomes unsettled as a dancer in a skeleton mask seems to be focusing on him as he performs. The skeletons at the door.
Ah, oh, look at that. What a darling little costume. Aren't we scary?
Trick or treat! Now shut up and get inside!
You crack maniac! If my son were here, he'd shoot you dead! Does your mother know what you're doing for a living?
Left lying in a mess of massacred toffee apples, Rose slowly opens her eyes.
Oh, Danny, I hope your fancy schmancy ballet was worth it.
She expires, and Danny squints as he returns to reality.
Be right back.
He gets up and leaves Teresa sitting alone. In the foyer, he picks up a payphone and dials. Teresa looks bored on her own, but Danny soon returns.
Sorry.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, I just had to check on my mom.
As they turn their attention back towards the performance on stage, Danny casually begins to move his hand towards Teresa's. She looks down and watches him finally bring his hand down over hers, then smiles to herself. He's reassured when she places her other hand over his.
I've been searching a long time. Someone exactly like you.
Skyscrapers and office buildings making up the Chicago skyline.
Waiting for you to come through.
I'd like to do makeup for Broadway.
Really?
Maybe give New York a shot.
Why not, you know?
If you think about it, what I do every day is like the theater. I mean, you've got this person on display in front of everybody. You've got to make them look good.
Of course.
That's why when somebody dies, right, the first thing I do is figure out what famous celebrity they look like. Uh-huh. And then I fix up the dead person to look just like them.
That's a talent.
It's good practice. I haven't had any complaints from the relatives so far.
Having been for a ride on a horse-drawn carriage, they're now sitting on a bench beside the sea, watching the sun rise over the horizon.
Maybe the best is yet to come. Someone like you.
They get to their feet and link arms as they walk along the promenade.
Someone like you. Keep me satisfied. Someone exactly like you.
With skyscrapers serving as their background, they come to a stop and look lovingly into each other's eyes.
Like you. Someone exactly like you.
Slowly, they move closer and kiss gently on the lips.
The best is yet to come.
Now, Rose is packing a suitcase.
This is a plan to get me out of the house. I don't like it. I don't like being used.
You're not being used. Patrick and Susan just want to spend some time alone with you, that's all.
And you want to spend some time alone with this girl.
I just want to have a nice dinner with her.
Well, any silverware she uses, wash it twice, heavy on the rinse cycle. Those Sicilian germs stick to your forks like glue. Why don't you take her out to dinner?
Because I want to cook.
If she's your cooking, it'll be a short romance.
Well, I learned from the best. Kidding! I'm kidding!
Nick, the Greek asked me for a date.
Oh, yeah? You gonna go?
Well, I told him I'd consider it if he did something for me.
Yeah, like what?
Watch this house.
Watch this house? Why?
Let me know when that girl leaves, if she's not out of here by one. Nick will tell me.
What? Why would you do that? I guard the most dangerous criminals in Chicago. I think I can look after my own life.
There are bars between you and those prisoners. Nick, don't forget.
Hi, Ma. Good luck, Danny.
Thanks.
While Patrick gets into the car, Danny goes over to talk to a guilty-looking Nick.
Nick, how could you do this to me?
I'm a lonely man, Danny. In love with a woman who despises me. I'm desperate. But don't worry. I won't let my heartache interfere with your chances for romance. As far as I'm concerned, that girl will leave this house this evening at 11:35 p.m. on the button.
I owe you, Nick.
Danny picks up the lid of a hot pot. In the messy kitchen, he bends down to smell the spaghetti bolognese sauce, but some splatters in his eye. Next, he adds some onions, mushrooms, and herbs, then stirs the pot. Turning to the other pot, he picks up clumps of steaming, dry spaghetti with tongs. Not noticing Teresa coming into the kitchen behind him, he opens the oven to find charred remains.
Son of a bitch! Hi.
The door was open, so I thought I'd just come in.
Good, sure.
Is everything okay?
Actually, no. I just destroyed dinner. Ma usually does the cooking.
I'm not really that hungry anyway.
Really? Good. Very good. And this, of course, is my room. Yeah, I gotta really decorate it up. It's starting to look like an old Elks Lodge. Now, what is this? I guess the maid left it.
He hands her a red rose and she smells it.
You were planning this.
No, I wasn't planning anything. You know, I didn't expect you to just come in here and, you know, jump in. No, I didn't mean that. I meant a little bit I was planning, just a little bit. I, you know, just this far.
It's okay. I told my father I was going to spend the night at my girlfriend's house.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, that's great.
Looking over Teresa's shoulder as they kiss, Danny spots a Jesus figurine. He stops kissing her.
What is it?
Oh, it's silly, you know, really. It's just what it is. It's Catholic guilt is what it is. It's exactly what it is. Sorry. Better. Now, you were saying something about...
With his police hat now covering the figurine, he goes back to kissing Teresa. Morning. A street lamp switches off outside Danny's house. Teresa's lying fast asleep in Danny's bed.
Good morning. Time to wake up. Come on. Rise and shine. It's breakfast.
Oh, you made me breakfast?
Well, sort of, yeah. It's a little burnt toast and lumpy tea. Oh. Well, it's, you know, the tea bag burst in there. I think there's a lot of seeds and... twigs and things in there.
So sweet.
Well, I wouldn't eat it. I don't know.
Outside, Rose is on her way back to the house. She spots Nick reading a newspaper.
Oh. What time did that girl leave?
11:35 p.m. on the button. Hey. We have a date, huh?
I'm busy this week. Talk to me next week.
Rose! Hey, Rose! A promise is a promise. Hey, you... Oh.
Danny!
Oh, my God, it's my mom. Come on, hurry up. Come on. Let's go, come on. Oh, you gotta God. Hide. Take this. No, I'm not here. Over there. Where? Just wait there. Don't see anything.
Danny? My clothes.
Clothes, you got clothes. What is she doing home now?
Danny, I'm home.
Oh, Ma, what are you doing home so early?
Well, I took the early train before anybody was awake.
Oh, good.
She goes to hug him.
Oh! What's that for?
Keeping your promise. Nick said you had that Dago girl out of here at 11:35 on the button.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot that.
Well, I'll go to my room and unpack my bags.
Okay, why don't you do that?
Danny stops Teresa coming back into the room as Rose spots his police cap covering the Jesus figurine.
What's this?
It's a hat. It's a hat.
Sacrilegious.
Wait, I'll do it. I'll do that. Don't do that when I can do that. When I could have done that.
What on earth is the matter with you?
Nothing. Nothing.
Didn't you sleep well?
Yes. No, I didn't, no. Well,
we'd better get you a new mattress.
Oh, good idea. A very good idea. Yeah, that's what we have to do.
Rose finally leaves.
Okay, come on, hurry up.
Hurry, just in. Oh, I'm 38 years old. I don't need this. I'm getting chest pains. Hurry up, will you?
So that was your mother, huh?
Yeah, that was her. What do you think?
Dago girl?
Well, that, she's got a very eccentric vocabulary. Had she known you were in the room, she never would have said it, believe me. You look very nice, by the way.
Now Danny walks out from his bedroom. Fully dressed, Teresa hides behind him and keeps her footsteps in time with his. She's completely hidden behind Danny's large frame.
Hello?
I'll be down in a minute and make you some breakfast.
Oh, that'll be nice. Yeah, a little breakfast.
Danny leans against a wall, allowing Teresa to nip out from behind him and hurry downstairs. He follows her out onto the porch. They smile at each other and kiss sweetly in the sunshine. As Teresa goes, Danny turns to see Nick watching from his steps next door. He grins at Danny and gives him the okay gesture.
Mom, promise me you'll be on your best behavior.
Oh, I will, I will.
Okay, thank you.
It's evening. Danny and Rose are in a stylish restaurant.
There she is.
Teresa appears.
Where are her breasts?
What?
She's got no breasts. Did she have some sort of an operation?
She's fine. It's her dress. It's just a little big on top, that's all.
Is she anorexic or anything?
No.
Well, if she goes to the bathroom more than 3 times during dinner, that's a sign she's bulimic.
What?
She's throwing up what she just ate in the bathroom.
Oh, please. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Ma, this is Teresa. Teresa, this is my mother.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mrs. Muldoon.
Rose, I'm Rose.
Rose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a lovely dress you're wearing.
Isn't it?
Thank you. Yeah.
Even though it is a little big on top.
Ma.
Well, it is. You said so yourself.
Ma.
No, that's a problem I have. I'm not really that endowed on top.
No.
You're built like a 13-year-old boy.
Ma, would you please don't start?
It's a joke. I'm trying to make jokes here. I'm trying to lighten things up a little.
Okay.
Would anyone like to order a cocktail?
Yes.
Oh, I'll have a glass of beer. And don't try to sneak any of that sour imported swill off on me at $6 a bottle. Just a plain glass of Budweiser.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir? I'll have beer, just any beer.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll have a vodka double on the rocks.
Good.
Oh, a vodka drinker.
Well, Ma, Teresa's probably a little nervous, you know, being here with us. Well, you know, you can understand that.
It's the first signs of alcoholism.
What?
I read it in Reader's Digest.
Rose, I can assure you I'm not an alcoholic.
Oh, denial. That's another symptom. The article said that one shot of vodka was equal to all of the calories in a ham sandwich.
Good. Maybe I'll gain some weight and grow breasts for you.
That's funny. Growing breasts.
Rose stares at Teresa distrustfully.
Let's order, shall we? Shall we order, Teresa? Ma? Well, I know what I'm here for.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'll have the shrimp cocktail, please. And the Caesar salad, no anchovies. And the prime rib, medium.
Very good.
Make that medium rare.
Very good, sir.
Thank you. There you go.
Thank you.
Ma'am?
Rose stares harder at Teresa.
I'll have the grilled chicken.
Good.
That's all.
Don't you want an appetizer?
No, thank you.
Don't push it.
Ma'am?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing for me.
Ma?
Just bread.
Ma?
Bread's fine, thank you.
Thank you. Are you trying to ruin this dinner?
I'm trying to save you $50. I'll fill up on bread here, and then I'll eat something when I get home.
I don't believe this.
Now, Teresa, Danny tells me that you're Sicilian.
Yes, part.
Part?
My father is Sicilian. My mother was Polish.
Mm. Polish?
Yes.
Polish.
I meant to tell you.
Polish?
Polish.
I had a Polack friend once. She was incredibly stupid.
Oh, don't do this, Mom.
Julie Kapowski. She was the stupidest woman that I ever knew. She believed that black cows... black cows squirted chocolate milk.
I think it's better if you and Danny have dinner alone.
Oh, Teresa, wait, please.
Why don't you have my grilled chicken? Cut it up in small pieces and devour it. You seem to be very good at that.
Teresa hurries away.
Teresa.
Danny goes after her.
Are you all right?
I've never been in an argument before. I've never said those things to anybody. I feel like I'm gonna throw up.
Just take a deep breath. You'll be fine.
I actually stood up for myself for the first time in my life. Not that I had much choice.
What?
You just sat there. You didn't do anything to stop her.
Like what?
I don't know. Scream at her, slap her, just get her to leave me alone.
Teresa, she's my mother.
So that gives her the right to rip me apart.
What was I supposed to do?
Fight for me.
Fight for you? You've got to understand my mother. She's old. She's set in her ways. It's going to take her a while to get used to you.
No, it won't.
Why not?
Because I won't be around.
Oh, please don't do this.
No. I want a guy who'll always fight for me. Who'll always stand up for me. Who'll never let me down. I thought that guy was you. I was wrong.
Misty-eyed, she turns.
Wait a minute, Teresa.
Taxi!
Come on. What are you doing? Don't do this. Look, don't do this. Teresa, let's talk about it, all right? Just talk to me.
She climbs into a taxi without looking back, and the car speeds off. Danny stands on the curb, watching it go sadly. He shakes his head, turns, and makes his way slowly back to the restaurant. The lights from office blocks, traffic, and a subway train are reflected crazily in a dark river surface. Later, Danny and Rose sit on the train in stony silence on opposite sides of the carriage. Later still, they arrive home.
I'm starving. I'm going to the kitchen to get something to eat.
I suppose you're proud of yourself.
Just telling it like it is.
That's been your excuse for the last 67 years.
My excuse?
Your excuse for hurting people whenever the hell you feel like it.
I don't hurt people.
Oh, no? I guess you didn't hurt Aunt Dolly on her wedding day when you said she looked like a cheap Las Vegas hooker.
Well, did you see the wedding dress? The back of it was cut right down to here. You could see the crack of her... Well, it was indecent.
And I guess you didn't hurt Cousin Jerry when you called his German wife a Nazi who probably slept with Hitler.
Well, there's no proof that she didn't.
Danny stares at her solemnly.
I guess you never hurt Dad either.
Rose stops, then swings the fridge door shut.
I never hurt your father, ever.
Florsheim shoes?
How do you know about that?
You came home late. You were arguing. I woke up. I was scared. I didn't know what was going on. So I listened in at the door.
A little spy.
Come on, I was only 12.
Spy!
Florsheim shoes was his big account. He worked on that for over 2.5 years.
Danny!
You blew it for him in one night.
Danny, don't.
All he had to do was sign a deal at dinner. One fancy schmancy dinner with a VP from Florsheim.
I'm going to bed.
No, you're not. Everything was fine that evening. Dinner was perfect. Dad had him in the palm of his hand. Until you decided it was time to tell it like it is.
I was right. I still stand by what I said.
You called Dad's bosses filthy Jew Shylocks.
They never gave him a raise. Not in 12 years. Not one Christmas bonus.
Ma, the vice president of Florsheim and his wife were Jewish.
How was I supposed to know they didn't look Jewish? I wasn't talking about them. They took it personal.
You lost the account for him. $450,000 to the company. He's lucky he didn't lose his job.
Your father never stood up to his bosses. It was time somebody set the record straight.
That night was the only time I ever heard my father cry. And still to this day, you still tell it like it is.
I don't mean to hurt people. Really.
Danny turns and walks out.
Where are you going?
To Halstead. A friend of mine owns a jewelry shop. He owes me a favor. I'm going to make him open up a store. Then I'm going to buy the biggest engagement ring I can afford. Then I'm going to ask Teresa Luna to be my wife.
He grabs his coat from the banisters.
Just telling it like it is, Ma.
A red light flashes rapidly through a window, catching the curtains in a dark bedroom where Teresa's lying asleep, curled up on her side in bed. Danny appears in the darkness outside her window. She pulls her covers around her, switches on her bedside lamp, then gets out of bed and goes to the window.
What are you doing?
Well, I was just in the neighborhood, and I thought I'd drop by.
Teresa sees that he's on a fire engine's crane.
Sometimes it's good to be a cop.
She smiles, then gazes at Danny.
What do you want?
He smiles nervously.
I just want to say that I'll always stand by you. And I'll never let you down again. I swear. And,
He hands her a small box. She takes it, looking emotional, then, sitting in the open window, looks at it. She opens the box. Diamonds on the elegant rings sparkle brightly. Teresa smiles and looks at Danny.
I got the light blue stones. I thought you'd like that.
She holds the ring, gazing at it in awe. Danny watches her with an expectant smile.
Will you marry me?
She slips the ring onto her finger and looks at him.
Yes. Great.
Smiling lovingly at each other, they lean forward. They hold each other and kiss in the open window at the top of the crane. Firemen watching on the ground clap. In the locker room at the station.
Hey, Danny. Well, my best friend is making the biggest mistake of his life, so I thought that deserved a toast.
I don't know why you're doing it, Danny.
I told you, it's because I love her.
And your mother, she hates Italians, you know that.
She got used to you.
Took her 15 years.
And she'll get used to Teresa.
Yeah, but she's gonna miss you, Danny.
I'm just getting married, that's all. She's taking this fine. As a matter of fact, she's handling it very well.
Oh, she is she?
Yes, she is.
Really?
Yes, really.
Hello, Mrs. Muldoon.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hello, Sal.
Jeez, Ma, what are you doing here?
Oh, stop fussing. I've probably diapered half of them. Come on.
Why?
We have an appointment.
With who?
The Polack priest.
Polack priest?
Why?
We've got to settle our problems.
We can't just wait till later.
The Protestants and the Jews go to the psychiatrist. We go to the priest.
You feel threatened by Teresa.
Threatened?
Yes. See, she's taking up a lot of Danny's time, so you're feeling threatened that she's trying to steal your son.
What?
Rose, I know you realize it's the 90s. I'm just not sure you realize it's the 1990s.
Rose stares sternly at the priest. Later, they cross themselves and walk out of the church.
I've never been threatened by anyone, ever. And I've been through D-Day, Korea, Vietnam.
Just relax.
You see that? That's what I don't want to become. I don't want to be like one of those old ladies who spends the rest of their life standing in line.
What do you mean, standing in line?
Well, they stand in line for the confessional every single day, even though they have no sins to confess, just so they can blather with the priest about Vatican II. And they stand in line outside the movie theater, even though they've seen the movie 10 times, just so they can complain to whoever's standing near them about the price of the ticket. And they stand in line at the grocery store, just so they can complain to the cashier about the price of frozen string beans, whether they should be 29 cents or 39 cents. And do you know why they spend so much time standing in line?
No.
Because there's nobody else in the whole world they can talk to.
Danny watches his mother sadly as she walks away. Later, he's trying on a suit in a shop with Patrick.
How's that look?
It looks good.
Yeah?
It looks real good.
Yeah, it feels all right, too. Yeah. What do you think? You like the style of this?
Yeah, it's fine.
Huh? Just fine? I thought it looked pretty good.
What's with you? Come on, you've been moping around all day. This is supposed to be fun.
Hey, could you guys give us a minute? Thanks. Look, Danny.
Yeah?
I've been thinking.
Yeah?
Maybe this isn't such a good idea.
What's not a good idea?
You know, this wedding thing. Maybe you're rushing into it. I mean, you just met her a little while ago. Maybe you should take a break. Go to Florida with Mom. Maybe you'll meet some knockout in a bikini.
Something wrong with Teresa?
I didn't say that. Did you hear me say that? There is nothing wrong with Teresa. She's just what? Well, she's a little plain.
Oh, a little plain, huh? Yeah.
In the mirror.
And what's this? The cover of GQ?
Oh, this is hot, huh? Great look. I'll buy next month's issue.
No, I just think that you can do better.
I don't think so. This is the girl. You got that? She's the one.
Dan, take it easy. Just being truthful. I mean, we're brothers, right? We're supposed to be truthful with each other?
Don't give me this two-way lawyer crap.
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
You want me to change my mind. You want me to go to Florida and live with Ma. Then you wouldn't have to feel so guilty.
Hey, Danny, come on.
Forget it. This is my chance, you understand? You took your chance. You got someone to wake up with in the morning. You got a house full of kids. You got a train around the Christmas tree and little ones running around in Halloween outfits. Now you want me to feel guilty for wanting the same things?
Listen to you. You go off and you get laid one time, and you think you're in love. Come on.
In response to Patrick's slap, Danny punches him on the chin, knocking him to the floor.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all right. I'm a cop. It's okay. All right? Sorry. I didn't mean to hit you. The hell I didn't. I meant to hit you.
It's okay. I deserved it. I was out of line. Look, Danny, all I'm trying to say is make sure that you're in love with this girl. Make sure it's real.
An old TV show.
When I go to a dance, I guess that I should be too. As soon as I walk in like that.
Teresa pauses the video and begins making up a corpse who looks like the old performer. She looks nervously at Danny.
What's the matter with you today? You seem a little edgy.
I'm fine.
What is it?
I'm fine. Really?
Come on, Danny.
I've got a lot on my mind, okay?
You can tell me.
It's just that...
Yeah?
Ever since my dad died, I've been in charge. Ma and Patrick, they've depended on me. To be responsible. To take care of things, and I have. I've always been there for them when they needed me. Everything I've ever done, every decision I've ever made was for them. I mean, I became a cop because Ma wanted Patrick to go to law school. She didn't have the extra money, so I came through. And I do it again. I'm not complaining. It's just that... Well, now... You and me... It's the only time in my life I've made a decision without thinking of them first. And I guess I'm a little scared. I'm afraid they're going to think that I've abandoned them. I know that
sounds stupid. I just don't want to lose my family.
Joey, how's the stick?
You call it be yourself, are you, huh?
Well, thank you, Father. Good to meet you.
Yes,
my wife.
Yeah.
A party is in full swing with Danny, Teresa, and Rose at the same table. Rose seems content, while Danny and Teresa chat happily. A blonde woman pulls a surprised Sal close and kisses him on the cheek. He smiles bashfully.
This is a very sad day for myself and Spats. We lose a valuable member of our exclusive club, Bachelorhood.
The man clinks glasses with Danny. Then Nick stands up and smiles nervously.
Excuse me, I would like to make a speech, but I would like to make a speech in Greek. And who would understand it but me? But anyway, Danny, Teresa, to speak Greek, you only need three words. Sagapo parapoli. It means I love you.
He's looking straight at Rose. She takes the words in and her face brightens a little. He raises a finger with a smile and sits back down.
Everybody, I'd like to propose a toast.
Joey Luna.
To my beautiful daughter and a future husband. Tomorrow you'll be married. One little word of advice, okay? Let nothing come between you. Salute.
Salute. Salute.
Rose is stony-faced as Joey sits down again. Now she gets to her feet.
So my son is getting married. And it seems that all of you approve of his choice. But you haven't heard my side of the story. I refuse. And I repeat, I absolutely refuse to accept Teresa Luna as my daughter-in-law.
There are several uncomfortable looks.
I will only accept her as my daughter.
Teresa's face brightens. She stands and the two women embrace. Joey puffs out his cheeks in huge relief.
Ma, I'm gonna take Teresa home.
Oh, fine.
Rose, I'll drive you over the Irish village. We'll talk a little, Teresa.
Thanks, but I am a little tired.
Come on, it's not even midnight, Rose. I'll drive.
Excuse me. Ma, do not get in the car with that man tonight. He's been drinking.
Don't worry, I'll go straight home.
Do you promise?
I promise.
All right, good night, Ma.
Good night, Danny.
Rose, my car's right over here.
I promise, Danny, I'd go straight home.
It's all right.
No, I...
Come on, Rose, it's a big night. We should be celebrating.
No, I'm tired. I'd rather
just,
go home.
Just one little drink.
No, I don't want anything to drink.
Oh, come on, Rose.
We're driving to Niagara Falls.
Yeah, you know, I thought that'd be a neat trip, and it's kind of romantic.
Danny, we can't go to Niagara Falls. It's too cold.
Oh, no, it'll be fine.
It's freezing.
But then we're going to go down to New York City and see some shows, I thought, you know.
Some Broadway shows?
You can pick up some pointers.
Wait, look. That's our wedding cake.
Oh, wow, look at that.
This is ours.
It's so pretty.
This guy's good.
Yeah, he's great. It's so pretty. I'm so excited about tomorrow. So happy.
They watch the man in the cake shop decorating their wedding cake. He puts down a small flask labeled vanilla extract. It's identical to Spatz's hip flask. In Spatz's car.
Rose, how about a little drink? Just one little drink.
No, thanks. I don't want anything to drink. Are you sure you're going to be able to drive?
Positive.
The brown car lurches forward, knocking the rear fender off the car parked in front and weaving out into the oncoming traffic.
My God, you're driving all over the street.
Look, I'm fine. Shut up.
Watch out where you're going.
Oh!
They miss two oncoming cars by a hair's breadth.
Get your foot off the gas! Wake up, wake up! Ah! Oh, Daniel, hope you have a wonderful wedding!
They crash into a tanker truck and explode in a ball of flame.
Danny, you okay?
Excuse me, I'll be back in a moment.
Danny walks off, leaving a bewildered Teresa watching him from the cake shop window. Danny crosses the snowy street to a payphone. Teresa decides to go after him.
Ma? You're home. Good, I was just checking in on you, that's all. I'll see you later. Okay, good night.
He turns from the phone and grins at Teresa. She stares back at him gloomily.
What's wrong?
You called her on the night before our wedding?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure she got home okay.
I don't believe this.
What?
Are we ever gonna be alone?
What's that supposed to mean?
Why don't you call her again? It's been 5 minutes. Maybe she burned down the house. Maybe she fell down the stairs.
That's not funny.
No, it's not funny. It's sad. It's sad that she's always in the back of your mind making you feel guilty. It's like she has some kind of hold on you. I honestly believed that if we loved each other enough, maybe you could let her go.
And what am I supposed to do? Just forget about her? Slough her off? Pretend she doesn't exist?
No, just stop letting her run your life. Be your own person, your own man. And put us first.
She looks at him steadily through misty eyes.
You can't. Can you?
I don't know.
He avoids her gaze awkwardly, and she glances around her.
It's midnight. I better be going. It's bad luck to see the bride after midnight.
He nods gravely. Looking into his eyes, she turns and heads off. Danny watches her go as steam drifts across the dark sidewalk piled with snow. The next day, a string quartet is playing from a balcony in a large church beneath a huge circular stained glass window. A man is standing in the pulpit, turning a Bible's pages in front of the growing congregation. Smartly dressed ushers escort more guests to their places, and intermittent camera flashes spark amongst the assembly as the church slowly fills up. Patrick is dressed in the same way as the ushers, in a dark suit over a white shirt with a black bow tie. He escorts Rose up the aisle into the empty pew reserved for her at the front.
Here you go, ma'am.
She sits down nervously, wearing a turquoise outfit. Sal to Patrick.
Seen Danny yet or what?
He should be here by now.
Yeah. I would think so. Danny.
Joey wanders over to the bridesmaids, who are all dressed in crimson.
Susan, is Teresa here yet?
No.
She didn't call or anything?
No, not yet.
While her phone rings, Teresa sits on the edge of her bed in her white wedding dress. She puts her clenched hands to her face, sobbing softly. A large black limo pulls up in the falling snow outside the church. Danny glances out of the window.
Keep going.
The car starts moving again. Danny looks troubled. Later, he's sitting at the bar in O'Neill's, totally alone and spinning a wedding ring on the bar top. He looks lost in thought.
I've got dreams, dreams.
Teresa has changed out of her wedding dress and has placed it neatly into its box. She sets her tiara on top, then smooths down the silky white dress softly. She puts the lid on the box with a sad, distant look in her eyes. Now, a train rattles along the elevated track near Rose's home under a clear blue sky. Beneath, people are going about their everyday lives. Snow lies piled in the gutters in the street and against the walls of buildings. Danny emerges from the grocery store in his police uniform. He's carrying a small paper grocery bag.
Hi, Frank. Morning, Danny.
Hi, Clark.
Morning, Danny.
He takes a paper from the stand and crosses the street. Now he sits at home at the kitchen table with Rose, who's reading the paper. Later, he's driving his police wagon with a thoughtful frown on his face and a suspect in the back. Sal is riding next to Danny with the same expression.
Me being your best friend-in-law, I'd like to know what the hell happened.
Just forget it.
It was your ma, wasn't it? She made you call it off, didn't she?
No.
It wasn't a sexual problem, was it? I mean, you can function as a man, all right?
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
It was her. What, did she want to do it like a corpse? You know, I hear they're weird, these people that work with the dead.
Hey, what is with you?
What?
Does everything in your life have to relate to sex?
Well, everything in life does relate to sex, Danny. I mean, think about it. You realize that 45% of these people in these buildings right now are having sex of some sort? That's a statistic, Danny. Am I right?
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
What is with you? You're twisted.
What?
What are you thinking? What's in your mind? You and your buddy Dr. Ruth back there. I mean, come on. Oh, I can hardly wait to get to Florida. Maybe I'll find a partner who's got more than a grape nut for a brain.
The usual.
What do you suppose?
Rose and Danny sit with spats.
Where's Doyle?
Heart attack.
What?
They found him this morning. Passed away in his sleep last night.
Danny and Rose look shocked. She rests her hand on his. Sometime later, Spats, Danny and Rose are standing before Doyle's open coffin in a small chapel. Danny turns and looks behind him at the empty seats.
His family.
What family?
His mom died 15 years ago. He's got a sister in a nursing home. Never married, no kids. I guess we're it.
Rose comforts Spats. Danny sees something and hurries away suddenly. He steps out of the chapel into a hallway and pauses, gazing ahead. He takes a few steps towards a wrought iron gate, then places his hands on its curled design. His expression softens in a fond smile. A few feet away, Teresa is making up a dead man's face, with a still on a TV screen for reference. Danny watches her work, transfixed. His expression turns mournful, and he turns slowly to go. As he's leaving, Teresa becomes aware of him and looks up. Sadly, she stands there watching him depart. Now, Danny walks by the water's edge. Skyscrapers reach up from the opposite shore, and gulls wheel in the sky. Patrick and Danny carry suitcases out from Rose's house. Some of Danny's colleagues are helping with the move. Nick.
Rose. Rose, before you go, I...
With a hand on her arm, he leans forward and slowly kisses her forehead, then her left cheek, leaving her looking stunned. He smiles at her, then she closes her eyes and their lips meet in a long, loving kiss. Rose lifts her right foot off the ground. Danny notices from the car and taps Patrick on the shoulder.
We we could have been great together.
She smiles back at him. They almost kiss again, but she stops him and turns to her watching boys.
I'll go back in and see if I forgot anything.
As she goes, Danny gives Nick the okay gesture. He waves back.
Hey, wait here, okay? I'm gonna go help Mom.
Danny walks off and finds a colleague inside.
Oh, Casey, do me a favor. Give me the keys to your cruiser, will you?
Yeah, no problem, Dan.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Rose is wandering through the carpetless, empty house, looking around at the bare walls. Behind her, Danny steps into the room she has just left.
You know, Danny, I'm actually going to miss this house.
Yeah.
Well, there's no point in getting all teary-eyed about it. Get your bags. Come on, let's go.
Danny stays where he is and sighs. Rose stares at him.
What's keeping you? We'll miss the plane.
I'm not going with you, Mom.
What?
It hit me yesterday at the funeral. If I go with you to Florida, I'd be leaving behind the best thing that ever happened to me. And if it's not too late, I'm going to try to get her back.
So, you're sending me off to Florida alone?
No. Aunt Jean and Uncle Walter, they're going to meet you at the airport.
Uncle Walter? He's always trying to look under my skirt when I cross my legs.
Ma, come on, please.
Very well. Fine. Who needs you anyway?
Ma. Ma.
I'm an old woman. I can't be expected to wait on you hand and foot for the rest of my life. I'm sick and tired of doing your laundry, ironing your shirts, cooking your meals. I've lost gallons of sweat and buckets of blood. All for you. You've been nothing but a ball and chain of heartache and hurt hanging around my neck for too many godforsaken years. It'll be good riddance to you.
Tears glisten in her eyes. She snaps round and hurries out through the front door, leaving Danny shocked. He looks up as the door opens again. Rose steps inside.
I'm sorry, Danny.
That's okay, Ma. You were just telling it like it is.
No, Danny. I was lying. Telling it like it is would hurt too much right now.
Danny smiles. They step up to each other and hug tearfully.
Go. Marry that girl. Have lots of Irish Dago mutts. And every once in a while bring them to Florida to see their grandmother.
I love you, Ma.
I'm not so lovable.
True enough. I'm kidding.
They kiss. Then with her cheeks wet with tears, Rose heads outside once more. Danny watches her go fondly with a loving smile on his lips. Now a police car pulls up abruptly outside the Luna funeral home. Danny gets out. Inside, he strides purposefully along the hallway, past the chapel to the iron gates. Teresa's nowhere to be seen. Joey appears on the stairs behind him.
Danny.
Yeah.
She's gone. New York, 3:15 train.
Damn.
It's already 3:35. Danny hurries back outside to the police car and climbs in. He roars away with the rear wheels spinning on the road.
Lois, this is Danny Muldoon.
Yeah, Danny.
Get me Freddie Nunzio at Union Station and hurry.
10-4.
Danny skids round a junction in a wide arc. On board a plane. A flight attendant is handing out magazines. Rose is settling in looking for her headphone socket on the armrest. She doesn't notice Nick appear and take the unoccupied seat next to her. He pinches her cheek.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. What the hell are you doing here?
Danny gave me his ticket. The thought of you traveling to Florida all alone nearly broke my heart. That's why I'm here.
He leans towards her.
A kiss before takeoff?
Forget it. I'm going to sleep.
She closes her eyes.
Well, at last, we get to sleep together.
Her eyes snap wide open in astonishment. She closes her eyes again, her seat reclined. With his seat at the same angle, Nick reaches out and takes her hand. She looks over at him slowly and smiles, then closes her eyes happily. Now it's grown dark. Teresa's train slows as it approaches a station decorated with Christmas lights.
Folks, we have to make an unscheduled stop here. There's going to be a bit of a delay. For security reasons, everyone will have to deboard the train. We're sorry for the inconvenience. Thank you.
As the train stops, she reaches for her red coat and gets up. She joins the other passengers taking a breather on the platform.
Teresa!
Danny makes his way through the crowd towards her. She steps down from the train.
Hi.
You did all this, didn't you?
Sometimes it's good to be a cop.
So what do you want?
I just want to... Don't you hate all the uncomfortable stuff that goes with trying to ask somebody to get back together with you? I'll make it easy for you. I'll give you a list of excuses. All you have to do is answer yes or no, okay?
She nods solemnly.
Good. Here goes. Reasons why you and I can't get back together. You're seeing somebody else.
No.
You're moving into a convent.
No.
You're having your legs waxed?
She smiles.
No.
You've fallen out of love with me?
No.
No?
No.
That's great. Maybe. You and me, we should...
You forgot one thing.
What?
Your mother.
She's gone.
To Florida?
She's on a plane.
So how do I know you won't hop a flight to be with her tomorrow or next week or next month?
Because I'm the one who let her go. And I'm ready to put us first.
Her face lights up.
Where?
Well, we're boarding.
You're going to New York?
I know this police sergeant in the Bronx. He transferred from Chicago. Maybe he can pull a few strings, you know, give me a line on a job.
You'd do that? You'd leave everything behind just to be with me?
Yeah. I love you.
Her face fills with delight.
I love you too.
Danny's face breaks into a big smile and they hug and kiss. Danny's eyes pop open and look up as he hears a plane overhead. On board their plane, Nick is fast asleep. Across the aisle in the next seat is a swarthy, dark-haired man in a combat jacket. Looking around shiftily, he produces a gun and springs to his feet.
To our homeland, or we will all die! Oh.
Two others have sprung up. The sign on the toilet flicks from engaged to vacant, and Rose steps out. The first terrorist grabs her.
Rose!
She thumps the man in the stomach with her elbow, then hits his face with her fist. Nick trips over the second man, who's armed with a knife. Rose knocks a hand grenade from the fist of the third man, and Nick catches it. Rose punches the terrorist, then continues to lay into him, knocking him down onto an empty seat. She smiles graciously.
Danny, relax. I can take care of myself.
Danny smiles, looking up into the sky.
Is everything okay?
Couldn't be better. Come on.